In the morning, Joni is poised and collected, already showered as she deftly works the imposing coffee machine my parents insisted on sending me. Eyebrows groomed, smile impenetrable. I stand by the breakfast counter, and when she places a bowl of cereal in front of me, I try to appreciate being waited on, even if it is just dry, shredded wheat from someone who has gone our entire adult lives without wanting to see me until now. "Is everything okay today?" I ask. "Okay." "With Willa," I say, eyeing her curiously. "Oh." Joni tucks her dark hair behind her ear. "I'm not sure. I left my phone at home." I stare at her for a moment longer. "You can use mine if you want." Joni waves her hand at me and searches for something in the fridge. "I have half and half under the sink," I say, "if that's what you're looking for." Joni winces and closes the fridge. "I'm sorry for asking you to help me after everything," she says, widening her eyes at me. The mannerism is so odd, so decidedly un-Joni-like, that I instinctively narrow my own eyes back at her. "How have you been, anyway?" I ask, "apart from this." "What a tragically quotidian question," Joni says, as she studies the use-by date on a bottle of Advil before tossing it into the trash. "You realize I haven't seen you in nearly a decade?" "And whose fault is that?" I think. "Fine," I say. "How's your mom?" "If you find out, do let me know," Joni says, without missing a beat. "Last I heard, she was in Dubai. She still doesn't believe in the internet." As she's talking, I take a seat in the low fishing chair I keep set up for the rare occasions my own parents visit from wherever they are in the world. Their visits are generally fraught, and we all avoid referencing life before 2008, unless my brother Stephen is there, because he has all the tact and confidence of a Southern California real estate agent, despite working in software engineering. And he never seems to notice when my parents go pale, or when my smile has been pasted on my face for so long that my lips are cracked. Every time they leave, they invariably try to replace every freestanding item in my home, and I invariably have to send it all back. I open my laptop and sign into the complaints interface of the dating app I moderate, Soulmates. It's 6:05 a.m., an hour before I'd usually start, but I want to make it clear to Joni that I'm not going to mold my entire day around her just because she's back in my life for all of 6 hours. Now seems as good a time as any to start sifting through the darkest dregs of online behavior, the private interactions on a dating app notorious for its hookup culture. "Is this your work uniform?" Joni asks. I look down at my gray leggings, already sagging at the knees, and the oversized green Soulmates hoodie I received when I first joined the team nearly 8 years ago. "I am both wearing this and working, yes." "I mean your whole vibe," Joni says. "This is a deliberate choice." "I work from home," I snap, "and you were hardly looking like Giselle yourself last night." Joni grins at me, her mouth as wide and knowing as it was the day I met her. I feel a small sense of relief that the Joni I once knew is still in there somewhere, underneath all that taut and glossy skin and motivational messaging, until I wonder whether she is hoping for the same. If she will try to coax out the old Bess, the one I've taught to yield and be good and expect little. "We were always so envious of your hair," Joni says now, the subtext being that nobody would be envious of anything about me right now. As she talks, she reaches out and takes a clump of my hair in her hands, the split ends nearly translucent in the morning sunlight. "It's just dead skin, Joni," I say. And Joni raises her eyebrows slightly, as if someone else were here to log her dissatisfaction with my answer. "Have you spoken to Theo recently?" she asks casually. "Not for years," I say. Joni nods like she had expected that answer, which begs the question of why she asked it in the first place.